each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Welcome. I'm Jim Littleton of Forming Faithful Families, sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. So it's great to be back here. I'm sitting in the studio here with Christina and Tony.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
We're happy to have you here. It's always a blessing.
Thanks
always.
So much. God bless you. So today we're going to have Juliana Tamorazi on. We'll bring her on in about 5 minutes or so, and we're going to discuss the plight of Iraqi Christians, who are truly our brothers and sisters. They are your brothers and sisters. So we're going to bring her on in a few minutes, and it'll be a very inspiring, interesting, and call-to-action type interview. So let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, own us, possess us, teach us, move us, heal us in Jesus' name. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God,
pray for us sinners,
now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. So just to introduce myself briefly, I'm James Littleton. I'm the president and co-founder, along with my co-founder wife, Kathleen, of Forming Faithful Families. You can learn more about our ministry at formingfaithfulfamilies.com. And we've recently released a Forming Faithful Families formational video series with a free downloadable small faith discussion group program guide. You can find out more about that on your website, our website, if you like, formingfaithfulfamilies.com. So big news yesterday here in the Archdiocese of Chicago, Archbishop Blaise Supich was installed yesterday as our new archbishop. So let's keep him in our prayers. I had a chance to watch part of the installation mass on television. Did anyone get a chance to see that?
I wasn't. I was working, but a couple of our parishioners called in and said, oh, it's such a beautiful mass right mm-hmm. now with the installation of our new archbishop.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't able to be there. I would have loved to have been there, but it was invitation only. But two of my children were there, Shannon, who is a secretary for Cardinal George now, Archbishop Supich, and my son Shane, who is a seminarian at St. Joseph College Seminary in the Archdiocese for the Archdiocese of Chicago. So I get to live now vicariously through my children
and their
experiences. And then I was also very proud that my son, Shane, had the opportunity to serve the Mass with Cardinal George, his last Mass as Archbishop on Sunday at Holy Name Cathedral. So that was quite a blessing. It's been bitter cold out here the last few days, hasn't it?
It feels like winter, like January, February.
It's getting there.
I'm glad my voice is working a little after breathing in all that freezing cold air. But, you know, I prefer to dress very warm. I wear my scarf, my black, and my hat, and then my hood, and my warm work coat. And I always prefer to dress warm rather than stylishly.
Oh, I agree with you, Jim. I have this coat. It's like those puff coats.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people I look like the Michelin Tire character, tire but it's warm.
I tell my children, don't worry about how you look, wear your hat, wear your gloves. But I had an interesting experience just maybe a few weeks ago. I went to St. Ignatius High School, which is not far from here, where three of my children attend, and it was parent-teachers conference. And I'm walking in for the event with all sorts of impeccably dressed parents. It was a cold day, and as I enter the building, everybody's walking right through and into the parent-teacher conferences. The security officer steps in front of me and says, "May I help you, sir?" Because I think of what I was wearing, you know, right. You could only see my eyes coming out from behind all my warm clothes. So it's kind of funny.
It's interesting you say that because I remember when I was younger, I used to always worry how my hair, I didn't want to mess up my hair. And it was all about the style, what I look like. And as you get older, get more wiser, it's not about that. It's about keeping warm and not getting sick.
Right. So I'd like to bring Juliana on now. Juliana, welcome to Winds of Change.
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much for having me. Hi, everybody.
Hello,
hi,
Juliana.
Good to be there with all of you.
So, Juliana Tamorzi, I've had the honor of interviewing you once before on another radio program that I do for Radio Maria, so it's really my honor and privilege to speak with you once again about this so vital cause, the plight of the Iraqi Christians. So maybe I can just start out by telling the audience a little bit about your background, and we'll begin our discussion from there. So Juliana is the founder and president of the Iraqi Christian Relief Council, a nonprofit organization in the United States that raises awareness about the persecuted church in Iraq and has helped Assyrian Christians, also known as Chaldeans and Syriac refugees, resettle in Illinois, Michigan, Massachusetts, and Arizona. Through her activism and media appearances, including the Sean Hannity Show, Fox News, and others, and as a volunteer, Juliana has worked tirelessly to promote the cause of Assyrian, also known as Chaldean and Syriac Christians in the U.S., while volunteering for Catholic Charities, she has mentored young women arriving in the United States. She herself was smuggled into Switzerland in 1989 due to religious persecution in her native Iran. After spending 7 days in a monastery in Zurich, she was once again smuggled into Germany, where she sought religious asylum. After spending 1 year in Germany, she came to America as a refugee in December 1990. As an Assyrian Christian living in Iran, Juliana learned to be multilingual at a young age and is fluent in English, Farsi, and Assyrian. And she obtained her master's degree in the year 2000. And since she has helped several refugee women gain higher education and rebuild their lives in America. She enjoys political and religious discussions and research, reading nonfiction, classical music, and opera, as well as traveling. So welcome once again, Juliana.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much for everything. It truly has been a blessing for me to call America my home for the last 24 years and truly to give back to people who are less fortunate than I am
right.
And than my family is. So it truly is an honor to do the work I do.
Well, you had exchanged emails with me recently, and you mentioned that the cold has arrived in Iraq and I imagine other areas around there, and that the people are greatly suffering. So can you fill us in a little bit about what is happening in that regard?
Sure. We started really talking about the cold coming with the members of the UN and with the members of the House and Senate here in the United States and asking really the world to help with putting up tents that were winterized or caravans that were winterized. And unfortunately, those plans started moving forward a little bit late from what we hear. As of about a week ago, very slowly, the organizations have started setting up camps, these winterized camps for people. While there are about 200,000 Christians in Iraq that are displaced today. They are currently living either in schools or churches, schoolyards. Many are sleeping outside. And there are those that can't afford it by selling, after selling all their belongings, if they were able to sell all their belongings, they're renting, four or five families are renting a couple of rooms. And really, imagine, each family has about 4 to 5 people per family, and there are 2, 3, 4, 5 families that are living in 2, 3 rooms. So they can stay away from the cold and, you know, pay very few dinars for the rent. But majority, large majority, are sleeping outside or in schools. So it was first the rainy season. The rainy season has ended. Now the cold is upon them. There's a great need for winter coats, winter clothing, and, you know, there is an epidemic of fever that is running rampant among these people that are living in camps. The situation is really dire. It really is. Whoever we have sent to Iraq has come back with tears and with such fire in their hearts to do something great for this nation that is on the verge of extinction today.
And you had mentioned something about homes being booby-trapped.
Yes. ISIS, let me give a little bit of a background. You know, whatever ISIS news that we receive in the news is mainly about the political ramifications or the territories that they're taking, but the human stories are being lost, and this is why I'm here today. And thank you, Jim, and everybody for allowing me to do this. When ISIS rolled into town through Mosul and town of Sinjar in the northern part of Iraq, northwest and northern part of Iraq, they gave people practically two options, either leave or convert to Islam. And if they refused to do either, they were executed. So as people fled their homes that they had, you know, worked so hard to obtain, ISIS either has taken those homes over, are living comfortably in them, or they've booby-trapped those homes. So in case someday Christians or Yazidis return home, they will be detonated. Those homes would explode. There was a really small village that is currently empty, but the Assyrian men fought ISIS, if you can believe it. They killed 100 ISIS members, and they took their weapons. And a couple of families that returned to that very small village, upon their entry, the home exploded. The homes exploded. So these homes have been booby-trapped. The generators that generated electricity for these many villages, they have been either destroyed or they have been sold in Syria or obviously have been taken over by ISIS. So, I mean, this is going to be a long, long road back home to Christians who want to return home, because then the experts have to go in like they do neutralize, I believe that's the term, neutralize the bomb, the mine. They have to do the same in these Christian homes now, if we're able to take them back, and God willing, we will be able to take them back.
Juliana, we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to take a break in a minute, but can you tell us how our listeners can find out more about you and your work on your website, Facebook, and so on?
Yes. A nonprofit organization is called Iraqi Christian Relief Council. The website is iraqichristianrelief.org. That number, again, is Iraqi Christian. Website address is iraqichristianrelief.org. And you can also like us on Facebook at Iraqi Christian Relief Council. We send the money for food, shelter, medicine, clean water, blankets, warm clothing. So please visit the website and please donate.
Juliana, I also realize that some individuals still don't go on the internet to accomplish things like giving a donation. Is there an address a listener could send a check to?
Yes, thank you, Jim. The address is in Glenview. The address is P.O. Box 3021. Again, P.O. Box 3021 in Glenview, in Glenview, Illinois. And Glenview is one word. The zip code is 60025.
Right.
60025.
Okay, and we're going to talk more about why it is so important for you to help, how you can help, and why it's so important to give a donation to this cause when we come back. So I'm Jim Littleton of Forming Faithful Families sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. We'll be right back.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Forming Faithful Families is now offering our 15-episode video series on DVD, filmed in stunning high definition with a free downloadable Small Faith Discussion Group program guide. We hope that you will consider purchasing, implementing, and promoting this video series at the personal and small group level. Forming Faithful Families is a faithful and trustworthy parish-based and small faith community program for marriage and family life faith formation in service to the new evangelization pertaining to the Catholic faith. Listen to this recommendation. Firmly grounded in the teaching of the Catholic Church, sacred scripture, and the wisdom of the saints, with this series, James and Kathleen offer a thirsty world a refreshing and satisfying drink. It also makes a great gift with eternal benefits for both the giver and the receiver. To order your DVD set today, visit formingfaithfulfamilies.com or call 708-334-1988. That's formingfaithfulfamilies.com or call 708-334-1988.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Littleton sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, and we're having a very intriguing and important conversation with Juliana Tamorazzi about the plight of Iraqi Christians and how we can help. So, Juliana, I understand that you're going to be speaking at a parish, I think this weekend, which happens to be my parish, St. James of the CalSag. Is that right?
The organization will be speaking. Yes, okay. I personally will be in New Jersey. I'm presenting to a parish there at the St. John Paul II Shrine in Linden, New Jersey. So if your listeners have any friends and family there, I'd like to invite them to that parish. But my colleague, Alan Tash, who's an immigration attorney, he will be presenting the plight in all three masses, and he'll have presentations after each mass as well.
So we encourage anyone to stop by St. James the CalSag, an opportunity to see a very beautiful country parish within the Archdiocese of Chicago, really a jewel. So, Juliana, can you share with us some personalized stories about individuals or families and how they have suffered in this dire situation?
Yes. For example, there are about 70 families who have rented, as I said earlier, a home or a couple of rooms, and these individuals, from what I hear, are not being helped by organizations such as UNICEF or UNHCR because they are not living in a camp. So from what I'm hearing, and I've spoken to the individual, to a young Chaldean man in Erbil, who said, we in these camps who are being helped, we take some of that ration, we don't consume it ourselves, and we give it to these families who are really living in these homes, simply because they're not living in a camp. So we have sent help to be given specifically to these 70 families. These are 70 families that we know of. God knows how many are not being counted, that are not being helped. There is a couple, a young couple, that fled Iraq because the atrocities against Iraqi Christians have been happening for centuries, Jim. during World War One, 2/3 of the Assyrian nation was killed alongside of Armenians. And fast forward since 2003, there are over a million Christian, Assyrian Christians, who have been displaced because they are Christians. They're living in Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, and Turkey. And now about 450,000 are left in Iraq, half of whom are displaced today. So the story that I'm about to tell you, it's a couple, young couple, that married and they fled Iraq because of the atrocities prior to ISIS attacks. They went to Jordan. They lived in Jordan for a few years. They ran out of money. Even though he was working, the man is a bright young man, excellent English, and he's a great accountant. Their money ran out. He wasn't able to work anymore. And they went back to Mosul right prior to ISIS invasion. And she was pregnant, 7 months, 8 months pregnant. When ISIS struck, they fled. They fled to Erbil, which is in the north as well. And a Kurdish family took them in. They took them in, and the child was born. But after a week, these Kurds, for some reason, they kicked them out. For months, they lived outside in a park with a one-month-old child. And we don't know where they are today, to be honest. We've tried very hard to get this family, these couples, out of Iraq, and it just hasn't happened. There are two groups, Jim. There is a larger group that wants to stay in Iraq, and there is a smaller group that wants to leave. Me, personally, I cannot sit in my comfortable home in this beautiful country and say, no, you guys have to stay in Iraq because we need Christians in the Middle East. I can't do that. But so having said that, those who want to leave, they have the right to leave. But majority want to stay there. Mm-hmm. They want to go back to their homes. Imagine, Jim, you and I and our friends who are in the studio and whoever is listening, we're all professionals. We've all worked really hard for our belongings. Imagine one day ISIS rolls in, and we lose everything.
Yep.
And then we're at the mercy of everybody else to send us aid.
Right.
And we would want to go back home. We would want to defend our home and our family.
Right.
So why would Christians of Iraq not have that right to go
right.
back to their lives?
Yeah.
And this is why there is an organization called American Mesopotamian Organization that is working very hard to arm minority Christians, Assyrians there. There are 500 people that have signed up to fight, to take back their villages, to mm-hmm. fight ISIS. And believe me, Assyrian men and women are courageous and they will fight. So there is that activity that is underway. But our mission as ICR Council is to raise money for food, shelter, medicine, and clean water. And this is why I would invite all of your listeners to go to IraqiChristianRelief.org.
Mm-hmm.
There they can send me an email by typing info@IraqiChristianRelief.org. I can answer any questions they may have. We've been doing this work voluntarily for 7 years, and we'll continue to do so. The need is absolutely great, absolutely great. And, you know, Jim, the question they ask when we talk to them, to the refugees in Iraq, to displaced people, they say, why is it that the West has forgotten about us?
Yeah.
We are modern-day martyrs. We are the ones who stand with Christ, and we will never put the cross down. So why is it that our brothers and sisters in the West have forgotten about us? Why? And this is why I'm the voice of the voiceless.
Right. And, you know, we have to put the face of Jesus on the people that you're talking about. We are members of the mystical body of Jesus. As a matter of fact, it does, regardless of whether an individual is a baptized Christian or not, they are still implicitly a member of that mystical body, because Jesus said, whatever you did for the least of my brothers and sisters, you did for me, and whatever you didn't do for me. So try to put, you know, the face of a loved one, one of your children, your spouse, you know, a friend, on the face of these people. They are real, and they're really suffering. When you go out in the cold here in the Chicago area, and you suffer a little bit between the car and, you know, your house or the grocery store with everything you could imagine to eat, you know, think of the Iraqi Christians, who many of whom don't have shelter. They don't have an ability to keep warm even at night. They're not being, you know, regularly well fed, etc. we have to do something about this. And I'm not afraid to say that. I'm not afraid to be bold. Now, when we look at today's gospel, isn't that interesting? Today's gospel at Mass that I heard and received Holy Communion after. And it talks about Jesus' parable in Luke. I won't read the whole thing. It's a lengthy passage. But he told the parable of the nobleman who called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, engage and trade with these until I return. Well, everything we have has been given to us by our Lord Jesus. And when he returned after obtaining his kingship, our Lord, Christ the King, whose feast day of Christ the King is going to happen this coming Sunday, the end of the liturgical year, he had the servants called to whom he had given the money, it says in this passage, to learn what they had gained by trading. And the first came forward and said, sir, your gold coin has earned an additional 10 additional ones. And the Lord replied, well done, good servant. Well, it went on and on, and then came along another servant who said, here's your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief. Why? Why? What reason did he give? It's a truthful reason. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid. So are we living a fear-driven, afraid life, holding on to whatever it is that we have for a rainy day or whatever, while we're well-fed, many of us, and well-sheltered and warm? And how can we do that and not do something for our beloved brothers and sisters? And think of, you know, the other gospel where the widow gave her last mite, the last coin or a couple coins she had, and that was all she had to live on. Does that sound radical? Well, Jesus praised her, and I'm sure he took care of her needs for the rest of her life. Excuse me for going on here, Julianne. Give me one more moment, and I'm going to turn it back to you. We'll go to a break and bring you in some more, but I'm not going to be timid. I'm not bragging. This is all by God's grace, but I'm married. I have 14 children. I lost the house through foreclosure once before. I had leukemia and was dying in the hospital when the last money I had in my checking account was garnished. I have no money. I have no savings, no retirement, and I'm free. And God provides day to day. And I will tell you that my family and I live like royalty. So that's a radical way to live, but I believe that that is how God asked us to live. He doesn't ask us, how much did you give? He's going to ask us, how much did you sock away in your handkerchief for yourself because you were afraid? I know that's a hard sell, but I believe this from the bottom of my heart. So Julianna, before we go to a break in 30 seconds, give us your address where our listeners can send a check.
Well, that was so profound, Jim. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you so much. Yes, thanks be to God. And, you know, very quickly, I started the organization 7 years ago, and Satan really attacked myself and my board members. I, too, lost my home in a foreclosure. And I've suffered a great deal, but I believe I suffered that much. I mean, there were times that I would come home,
right,
and I wouldn't know if I could turn on the electricity and if it would come on.
Right.
I mean, it was that terrible. But thanks be to God, I have come out of that.
Yes.
But that made me realize the suffering, what suffering is. So the website is IraqiChristianRelief.org, IraqiChristianRelief.org.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little later about what Jesus does with his special friends and how he pulls them up on the cross with him. You know why he does that? We get nailed up there with him for a while so we don't run away.
Yes.
And we can see the world for what it is up there. So we're going to go to a break, and we're going to bring you back on for a few minutes, Julianna. So I'm Jim Littleton, Forming Faithful Family, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. We'll be right back.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located 2 blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Koska Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you help us stay on the air with your dollars and your prayers. And we are asking for that help now. Please take a moment and go to our website, windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. On the upper right-hand side of the page, there is a link, Support Winds of Change Show. Click on that link and donate securely with any major credit card. With your help, Winds of Change will continue to bring you the truth.
Welcome back to Winds of Change. I'm sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. I'm Jim Littleton, and we're talking to Juliana Tamorazzi. And Juliana, once more, give your website and how people can reach you and help the Iraqi Christians.
The website is IraqiChristianRelief.org, IraqiChristianRelief.org. Please feel free to send a check to P.O. Box 3021. That is in Glenview, one word, Illinois, 60025. And the email address is info@IraqiChristianRelief.org.
And Christina, Tony, do either of you have a question you'd like to ask of Juliana?
Actually, I had a comment. You know, Juliana, when you mentioned about the refugees in Iraq asking why the Western world has forgotten about them, and that really made me think, you know, and I asked the listeners to think about this. How would you feel if we were on their side? Let's say it would be happening to us that ISIS took over the country over here and our Christian brothers have forgotten us over there in Iraq. It makes you think, put yourself in their shoes, what they're going through.
I think they even go further, Christina, if I might. Juliana, I love when you talk because I feel the genuineness, and I go further to say we in America are comfortable, but to realize that we are all brothers and sisters. And just like within your own family, and Jim, you even said just some of, you know, the things that go on in your life, Aunt Juliana, you said the same thing. But we are all brothers and sisters, and there are people suffering worse than us. And that is always a point for me, and it just knocks me out of my just everyday being. We have to, you know, Father Tony's always saying to go out. This is a good way to do it. Any little amount of money. And there's many times when I don't know where to give. I don't know how to, but just the fact that we can help, that's the main thing. I mean, it touches me every time I hear you speak.
Thank you so much, Christina and Tony and Juliana. Can I just share a brief reflection on the cross, and then we'll give you another opportunity to say whatever you need to say, and then we'll conclude the interview from there. But I want to ask our listeners as well, are you suffering right now, be it financial, cancer, some other adversity, or some seemingly impossible situation? Does it seem unbearable? Well, I want to assure you that you, whoever you are, you, not you collectively, but you as an individual, are one of Jesus's special friends. And He is with you every step of the way. He will never abandon you. That would be impossible. He will never abandon you. You see, sometimes because he loves you so much, Jesus takes his special friends very close to him. He pulls them up as part of his mystical body, and he permits them to be nailed to the cross so they won't wander away from him. So they can learn, so they can see the world for what it really is, how beautiful it is, how beautiful their brothers and sisters are across the world from up there on the cross. And don't be afraid. The cross of Good Friday leads to the Easter resurrection for you and for others. Stay close to Jesus because he is so close to you. As a matter of fact, as long as you make room for him, he is in your heart and he will stay there. He tells us, he tells you through his divine word, you will only have to suffer for a little while. The God of all grace who called you to eternal glory in Christ will see that all is well again. He will confirm, strengthen, and support you. His power lasts forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 5:10 to 11. Be assured that God is your loving Father, Abba, Daddy. He is caring for you and working to bring a great good out of everything you are experiencing in your life. You are his beloved child. Yes, you are. And the people who are suffering in Iraq right now are his beloved children, making them your beloved brothers and sisters.
Jim, if I may make 2 points to what you just said. To those listeners who are really suffering, I, as your sister in Christ, will tell you, the Lord is with you, for I have suffered a great deal, especially within the last 8 years. And the Lord, but I never gave up. And I, like you said, Jim, I went closer to him. Mm-hmm. And I completely surrendered, completely, my entire life into his hands. Because I said, you know, the first 30-some years of my life, Lord, I lived it according to my will. The next, however long I have, I will live it according to yours. So you do what you will with me. And if you want me to suffer, I will suffer, for I know you're preparing me for something great so I can do it for you, accomplish it for you, for your glory. And you know what? When I lost faith earlier in the beginning, he never lost faith in me. And today when I praise him, I say, Lord, you who never lost faith in me, I thank him. And again, please, the hard times will come to an end at some point.
Yes.
Never, never lose faith. Because when you come through on the other side, you will look back and say, this is why I went through this, because I was prepared to do X, Y, Z in the future.
Right.
And two, those people in Iraq that are suffering, when you talk to them, the first thing they say, regardless of their situation, they say, blessed is his name, thanks be to God. We're alive, or thanks be to God, you know, and whatever comes after that. But they never stop thanking the Lord, never. The second thing is they say, he has a plan for us. This is a part of the greater plan. Therefore, we're patient. And this is these are people who've lost loved ones to Islam. They've lost loved ones to crucifixion. They've lost their homes. They've lost everything. There's nothing greater than giving a child, right?
Yeah.
A parent, when the parent loses a child, I don't have children, but I can't fathom pain. But these people are enduring that for Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So reflecting what you just said, on what you just said, that through suffering, those individuals are also our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to give you a message from what they say. They say, we're suffering this, all of this, for Christ, because he's a part of a greater plan. This is all a part of the greater plan.
Well, that testimonial is powerful. And, you know, I've got you beat on only one thing. I wasted 33 years, not only 30, before I had my reversion started. And tell us once again. Well, let me share two other just quick, very short scripture passages. Then we're going to find out how to donate to the cause that you speak of so powerfully and eloquently. So, think of the love that the Father has lavished on us by letting us be called God's children, and that is what we are. 1 John 3:1. And lastly, from Revelation 1:17-18, do not be afraid. It is I, the first and the last. I am the living one. Amen. So, Juliana, how can we get a hold of you in multiple ways to make a donation or help in any way you need?
Yes. A very large percentage of the money goes to Iraq. Because we're all volunteers, we don't have an office. Everything is run out of my home. When people call, they call my cell phone. So 92 to 94%, sometimes 100% of donations that come in, we send them to Iraq. The last three distributions were given 100% of what had come in within the last 2 months. So that's important for the donors to know. The second point is the website address is iraqichristianrelief.org, iraqichristianrelief.org. The P.O. box is P.O. Box 3021, Glenview, Illinois, 60025. And we will be presenting the plight in St. James in Lamont on Archer Avenue this Sunday. During all three masses, we'll have a few minutes to address the parish, the parishioners, and also we'll have a full presentation after each mass. So I invite everyone, if you want to see pictures of these individuals being persecuted, if you want to hear the stories, and if you want to taste the Ninevite food, we will be, the event is called The Taste of Nineveh. So we will be bringing finger foods that are Assyrian made, so you can taste what these people also eat.
That sounds so intriguing.
Yes. So Father Coyes has been so gracious to allow us to go in and present. And, you know, in the future, we travel a great deal throughout the country to present to different parishes, to different churches, to different, even synagogues have invited us. Mm. So God willing, in the future, in Chicago, we'll have more speaking opportunities that will be coming. So, and Father Bush, Father Tom, Loya, Father Coyce have always been so gracious, and you, Jim, to allow us to go in and speak and address the listeners. So please stay tuned. Yeah. We will be spreading the word about future speaking engagements as well.
And Juliana, your organization is a nonprofit, correct?
Yes, we're a nonprofit. So, we have been a nonprofit for since 2009.
So if our listeners want to make an end-of-the-year donation, that will be tax-deductible. Just give a little less to the IRS and some more to help the Iraqi Christians. That's a good deal. And please don't delay. I know how it is. We're so busy. And if we don't do it now, we're going to forget and not get to it. So pull out your checkbook, pick up your pen, write your check, write a number, add a zero.
And you, Jim, you were so gracious. You supported us as well financially. Thank you immensely, immensely. Thank you so much. And Father Bush has invited us to speak at his parish. We've done that before. And again, Father Tom, Armin Chabateri, I can't thank, Drew Mariani. I really can't thank the Catholic community enough.
Yeah.
For everything you've done for us. Thank you.
Well, thank you for giving everything. You give it all. You don't hold anything back. That's obvious. So, okay, Juliana, we're going to let you go. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to talk about some subjects that are going to lift you up heading into the end of the liturgical year. So I'm Jim Littleton, Forming Faithful Families, sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Winds of Change broadcasts from the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, located two blocks north off Division on Noble at the Division Street exit off the Kennedy. Since 1867, St. Stanislaus Kostka Church has been serving the faithful of Chicagoland since 1867. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, can continue its mission to bring Christ to His people. Please donate now by going to sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. And click on the donations link to make a secure donation with a major credit card or debit card. With your help, St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, will continue its restoration and will continue to thrive for the body of Christ.
The Winds of Change
on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Married couples, I have good news for you. There are no such things as marriage problems. I am Father Thomas J. Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. There are no marriage problems. There are only problems in knowing and living the theology of the body, which answers the question, why are we a man and why are we a woman? When we know this, we come to know our legitimate needs as man or woman, and marriage is all about meeting these legitimate needs. Remaining unaware of these needs is what begins the process of exchanging hurts, leading to strained relationship. A woman's greatest need is to be relationally fulfilled by knowing her husband is emotionally present to her. A man's greatest need is to know that his wife believes in him, that he is more than adequate, and that he has what it takes to be a man. Our legitimate needs as man and woman are revealed in the very language of our gendered bodies. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Littleton, sitting in for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And we just had a very inspiring conversation with Juliana Tamorazi, and hope that you're helping that organization with the plight of the Iraqi Christians. You can, if you didn't get a chance to write it down, you can email me at formingfaithfulfamilies@gmail.com. That's formingfaithfulfamilies@gmail.com, and I'll get you the information as to how you can help out Juliana's organization and the suffering Iraqi Christians. Also, just want to mention once again that Forming Faithful Families video series is available for individuals or as a small group formational package with a free downloadable small faith discussion group guide. And we're just so blessed. The way God's providence works, but it was just either yesterday or the day before we learned that our video/television series will be broadcast on television on Catholic TV, available to 14 million homes starting in February, leading up to the World Meeting of Families, and we're hoping to get it on some other networks as well. So we're really happy about that. And let me just share a personal story that I think has a message for all of us. My 8-year-old daughter, Shayla, was poorly behaved recently, and the next morning I said something to her to the effect of, "Shayla, should you ever behave that way again, I will still love you. I will always love you. There is nothing you can do to make me stop loving you always and forever." She melted, smiled, and gave me a beautiful hug. Is this not how our Heavenly Father of Mercies deals with us, deals with you, His children, when we misbehave? His mercy is always available, and for us Catholics, our misery meets mercy in the sacrament of confession. I wish I could tell you that I always interact with my children in this beautiful way. I often fail, but what a sublime thing it is when we can mirror our Heavenly Father's unconditional love to others, which is what we're called to do. I do want to get into awe of life, which we started on in our last program. I might have time for a few moments of comments on that important theme here today, but if not, next time I'm guest hosting, we'll cover that more than likely, unless we have another important guest step up to the plate. But let me share with you an excerpt from my hero, Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, page 215, Through the Year with Fulton Sheen, and it's entitled The Love Called Agape. You see, the love called agape is the Greek word for sacrificial love. Sacrificial love, unconditional love. And we're always called to that, but especially as we're approaching the end of the liturgical year, we're approaching Advent, then Christmas. It's time to forgive. Forgive who? Forgive everyone. Forgive them for what? Anything and everything. Not to hold back our forgiveness. So, quoting Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, this is the love we preach and we try to inculcate, not eros or just philia alone. Because the philia, another Greek word, love, will come out of this divine love. Here is an example of how it was practiced. The wife of a friend of mine was one night called downstairs. Her husband was talking to a Nazi. They were Jews who became Christians, Lutherans. And the husband said to the Nazi, "How many Jews have you killed in the last 6 weeks?" "About 25,000, he replied. "In what places?" He mentioned the names of the cities. "In this particular village, how many Jews did you kill?" "I killed all the Jews," he replied. "Do you feel any remorse?" "No." "Do you ever think of asking God for pardon?" "There isn't any such thing in all the world as forgiveness. There isn't any such thing as God." My friend said, "Let us see. My wife is asleep upstairs. She has not heard this conversation. I shall call her down." She dressed and came down, and he said, "Sabina, this is the man who killed your father and your mother and your three brothers and two sisters." She looked at him and then threw her arms around his neck and kissed him and said, "God forgives you. I forgive you." At that, the Nazi threw himself on his knees before the husband and asked him to pray to God for forgiveness. This was the divine forgiving love, agape. How do we live this kind of divine, selfless love? On a human level, it's impossible, but with grace, all things are possible. Be heavenly as your Father, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. How is that possible? Well, by grace, by being transformed into Jesus, by receiving the sanctifying grace that we receive in the sacraments, like the Eucharist and confession. Are you getting to Mass every Sunday? Are you getting to Mass every day? What greater thing could we do with our time than to attend daily Mass and receive our Lord Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity?
Jesus was a perfect example. From the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
Mm-hmm. And he was asking his Father to forgive them for a lot while he was was hanging there and bleeding, and his skin hanging off in shards. Yes. I mean, what a horrible, most horrible suffering imaginable is what Jesus went through. All right, I'm going to shift topics on you briefly here. Let's just talk a little bit about awe of life, and we hope to continue this in future programs when I'm called to fill in here. The beautiful gift of our sexuality is not something to be squandered or demeaned with a multiplicity of people. We should never make objects of others for our own pleasure. Thus, pornography is always wrong and disordered, and there is an epidemic of pornography use today. With pornography, one takes pleasure at the expense and the degradation of others. You see, God tells us in His Word, 1 Corinthians 13:6, love takes no pleasure in other people's sins, but delights in the truth. So, unfortunately, as I said, there's an epidemic today of pornography. Many are addicted. And as with any addiction, the assistance of a higher power is needed to break with it. And that higher power has a name. And His name is that name above all other names. Jesus. He has all the power. Invite Him into your heart, into your soul, into your mind, and He will dispel every demon lurking there or around you, around me. I think that the beauty, the truth, the magnificence of human sexuality can be easier to comprehend when one has had a heavy cross to carry. As we then tend to become more open to the grace of God, needed to understand, embrace, live, and persevere in these and other objectively true moral teachings. We're healed by God in that we receive a much greater capacity to comprehend the truth about how precious every life truly is, as we experience in a critical way the fragility of our own precious life. We are given a greater capacity to see others, not as objects of our gratification, not as obstacles, but as the dignified brothers and sisters, children of God, temples of the Holy Spirit, worthy of love, respect, and care that they truly are. Never fear. God is with us. He is with you to show the way and to give us all the help we need to live purity, chastity, and love. But we cannot live this without Him. So, I want to share a quick insight into Matthew 27:32-33 in relation to this topic about Simon the Cyrenian. On their way out, they came across a man from Cyrene, Simon by name, and enlisted him to carry his cross. Why from Cyrene? The Word of God does not place meaningless words into the text. Why does the Bible tell us this detail? Well, I did some research of my own. It is interesting that the chief local export of Cyrene through much of its early history was the medicinal herb silphium. S-I-L-P-H-I-U-M, silphium, used to induce an abortion, referred in the medical community to as an abortifacient. The herb was pictured on most Cyrenian coins. Perhaps there is a secondary, apropos message in this gospel passage wherein there was a need for reparation by a Cyrenian, a Christ figure, for the sin of the myriad of abortions the Cyrenians were complicit with. Know that Scripture contains an infinite number of precious treasures to be hunted and discovered with the help of the Holy Spirit. So, it's been a pleasure sitting in with you again here.
Thank you for coming.
Christina, Tony, what a blessing to be here. And I'm Jim Littleton of Forming Faithful Families. That's formingfaithfulfamilies.com. You can email me at formingfaithfulfamilies@gmail.com. You can call us at 708-334-1988, 708-334-1988. So Jim Littleton sitting in for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Can you see? Can you see? Change. each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.